Hello, and welcome to the Original Content Podcast. I'm Anthony Ha.
And I'm Daryl Etherington.
And some of you, the longtime listeners, may remember that Daryl and I started, it was really Daryl's idea, but we started this podcast together just a little over a year ago, but then Daryl abandoned us for another job. Why did you do that?
I like Canada. That's a fair answer.
That's it. That's the only answer. So you're working for Shopify now?
Yes. Yeah. Canadian company, technology company, based in Ottawa, which is the capital of Canada. So it's the most Canadian thing of all time.
Right. I mean, it's really the only success story to come out of Canada in the last 50 years.
Wait, come on. 50 years is a long time.
Okay,
horizon.
Like what else?
In that time, we had Nortel and we had BlackBerry.
Right. You had RIM. That was a success story and then wasn't a success story. But that's true of any company. I mean,
I think we might have had Avro in the 50 year. Actually, they might be beyond that. You know, they made the Arrow. It's like a fighter plane. Anyways,
I'm glad you took this challenge very seriously. but luckily, Daryl and I are both in San Francisco, a city that neither of us live in, for TechCrunch Disrupt.
Yeah.
And we decided to take the opportunity to do a recording of original content. We are going to discuss one piece of news that Daryl, I assume, is very excited about.
Very
and then we're
going
to do a review of Insatiable, which is the Netflix series about a high school girl who loses a lot of weight that you've probably read some negative articles about. And so we're going to discuss whether or not it is as bad as everyone is saying.
I was curious about how you're even going to synopsize that.
It's a lot. There's that one element that everyone focused on, yeah. Which is definitely a big part of the show, but not. There's a lot. There's a lot going on.
There is, yeah.
Which we'll get to. But first of all, let's just talk about this one headline that hit. Actually, I guess it was today, which is that Henry Cavill is going to be the star of the Netflix series, which is based on the game franchise The Witcher.
Right, which is a wonderful game franchise.
I've never played it.
I've actually only played The Witcher 3, the most recent one.
Right, that's the one that seemed like people were actually talking about it in this kind of big way. I don't know if it's just because they had big like marketing campaign. Or
yeah, I feel like before it was like pretty niche. Like it was always like a well-respected franchise, but for like a smaller group. And then after The Witcher 3, everybody was like, this is great. It was just an open world game that was pretty fun to wander around in and like didn't take itself too seriously, which is part of the appeal, I guess.
So like, what's the basic setup of The Witcher?
Well, there's a witcher.
Right, as we all know what a witcher is.
So he's like a person who hunts supernatural beasts, basically.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. And he like, I think he hunts witches. I think that's part of it,
okay.
Where the name kind of comes from.
And in the game, witches and other supernatural monsters are real.
Yes. No, they're all imaginary.
That's
the ending.
Every game at the end, you just realize you've just been murdering innocent people.
It was a game all along. it was a really fun. It's Project Red, which is like a Polish studio, I think. But it's really well done. And the hair was beautiful. The hair was very beautiful on all the people, especially on Geralt, who is the main guy.
Okay.
Who is? And this is the news.
Right. So he, Henry Cavill, who most people probably know as Superman in the DC films, although a lot of people also may not know him because Justice League did not make a lot of money, so it's possible that...
Neither did the other ones he was in, right? Or did they?
Man of Steel did pretty well. Batman versus Superman, or Batman
v. made money.
Superman, made a ton of money opening weekend and then fell off very quickly, but I think it was still profitable.
Yeah, and he was good. He was a good... He's like... He looks like Superman. I mean, I don't know. He's a Clark Kent type.
It's a little ridiculous how buff he is. It almost seems like comical when he's wearing the costume and you just see like muscle on muscle on muscle versus like Christopher Reeve, which is like an impossible standard to hold anyone to because he's probably like the best actor who's ever been in a superhero movie.
That's definitely true.
His costume, he was buff and definitely they tell stories about that. He was a skinny guy when he auditioned and then basically he had to like go through this like workout regimen to be Superman. But he didn't look, he looked like a buff guy.
He looked like a solid, like reasonably sized
Right,
dude.
He looked like he could beat the shit out of either of us.
Yeah.
But he looked human. Whereas Henry Cavill in the Superman costume does not look human, which I guess technically is appropriate.
Yeah, that's right. He's not a human. But also, like, he does look CGI'd, and I think in times he is, right? And then
right.
His mustache
oh.
was famously
right.
CGI'd.
Yes.
To horrible effect.
There were a lot of problems with Justice League as a movie, which I still moderately enjoyed, and I know that people will make fun of me for that, and that's fine. I'm not going to, like, defend it as a particularly good movie, but...
It's fun when Aquaman does his shenanigans sometimes.
Right, he just goes, all right!
Yeah.
He uses, like, three catchphrases that he just, like, repeats.
He was
over
the
and
hype
over.
Man of the whole movie.
Right. But that... Certainly, Henry Cavill's face did not look good in that movie, and that's a problem.
Yeah, but it was like it's the only thing that movie gave to the world, so it's okay.
Right, even the things that are good about that movie, you're just like, sure, yes. That was fine, except for Henry Cavill's face. As far as we know, that will have no bearing whatsoever on his performance in this Netflix series.
No, it
though. Shouldn't.
I mean, that'd be weird if it did.
they decided to have him grow a mustache. Yeah, and digitally
like
erase it again.
A key part of his character is he has a digitally erased mustache. But he also, like, he's also famous for the Mission Impossible. The newest Mission Impossible?
Right, which is why he had a mustache when they had to do the reshoots in Justice League. Was because he was contractually committed to Mission Impossible, and Paramount would not let him shave because then he would, when he came back to Mission Impossible, they'd have to wait
while he like grew his hair or do it digitally, which would be horrible. And that proved to be the better decision. Everybody was criticizing him. It was like, you're Superman, dude. But then everyone actually really likes the new Mission Impossible movie and says it's actually
he's
a quality
pretty good.
Movie. Did you see it?
I haven't seen it. I liked it a lot. I think it was one of those things where it was built up for me so much, and I liked the last two Mission Impossibles, Ghost Protocol and Rogue Nation, so much that I had like crazy high expectations for Fallout. Mm. And ultimately, I was like, this is pretty good. I don't think I liked it quite as much as I liked Rogue Nation. And he was fine in it. He was an amazing.
You did? Wow.
He was fine.
That's a very dissenting opinion, I would say, from the popular media reviews. But
yes, I think a lot of people think it's the best of the Mission Impossible movies. I wouldn't agree with
including
that.
Including the original, which I love.
Yeah, I love the original. This is not something that I, you know, need to fight anyone over. Yeah. I don't think anyone's... I think, like, in general, these are all very good movies. I think
there are.
I mean...
The John Woo one when he did the motorcycle fly.
Not great.
Fight.
I would say Mission Impossible 3, which is J.J. Abrams' first movie, has some good elements, including an amazing performance by Philip Seymour Hoffman, but as a whole is kind of, like, not that great.
Forgettable, maybe, besides...
Right.
Seymour Hoffman, because I don't remember what happened.
Yeah, and I didn't go back and watch that one until after I'd seen Ghost Protocol, which I think is just so much fun from beginning to end. But overall, good franchise, exactly where you slot everything. You know, everyone probably, it's like personal taste.
But Cavill was famous like for pumped his guns or whatever. Like to do the
right. Fight. There is this, in the trailer, which there's a scene where he sort of like, moves his arms in this way of, and I have not been in a fight since I was like 8 years old or maybe even younger, like, but like where he like sort of like just like flex, it's not flexing isn't quite the right words, but
it was described as cocking his biceps, like as if they were guns.
Well, because there was
a
sound
load.
Effect that went along with it, which is sort of confusing.
The shirt
whipping, biology works, but he's good. I mean, I would, the thing about Fallout, and they're very open about this, is they had to rewrite as they were shooting the movie, and I think you definitely see that, and I think that one of the aspects that sort of is fun but doesn't quite pay off in the end is the Henry Cavill character, but he's fine. It's nothing to do with him. He seems, I mean, with interviews, he kind of comes off as a little bit of an asshole because he... Does I mean?
Well, he's British, isn't he?
Right. It's just basically just don't ask him about gender. Don't ask him about gender, and you'll be fine. He'll sort of like.
Oh, that's right. He got his foot in his mouth about a couple things, didn't he?
Right. Not in the way that you think he's a monster, but just somebody who maybe hasn't given this as much thought as you would like, ideally. Which, if that's true, I would say don't talk about it then. In the same way of like when Matt Damon is giving interviews, Matt Damon seems like a very nice guy. Just don't talk about it.
Do you
it.
Think that both of those people suffer from the John Hamm 30 Rock disorder of like, from 30 Rock? Did you watch
I didn't make it that far.
John Hamm plays like an exceptionally handsome man who like thinks he's amazing at everything.
There's probably something that, and I think there's something about when you go on a press tour for a movie, you just have to have an answer.
If you're in the seat, you got to say something.
Yeah, and it's anyway. Yeah. But
you got to watch that because the John Hamm, he's there's part where he speaks perfect French and he's just saying nonsense words. But like, people have always told him.
So I think there's probably something to that where, and you know, Henry Cavill, like, is reasonably, seems reasonably intelligent and charming, but also because he is so grotesquely buff and handsome, probably is used to coasting on that a little bit. Although apparently he was a fat kid. Maybe I don't know if that gives it a different angle.
If only we were done talking about The Witcher, that would be a great segue.
Well, don't worry. We'll get back to you, Henry Cavill, as a fat child. But let's talk about Henry Cavill in The Witcher. I have no opinion about this because I don't know anything about The Witcher. How do you feel about it?
I feel like, I don't know. I feel weird about it. There was a campaign where this actor, Zach McGowan, who is like a much lesser known actor, who has been in The 100 in its most recent arc, playing one of the grounders. People will know. People who know will know. But he's like a swarthy guy. He's got long flowing hair and he like always looks somewhat dirty, although that's kind of the aesthetic of the show. But it was pretty pitch perfect for he was in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. too. Okay. He played the Russian, if you're up on the seasons of that, or again, listeners will know. But yeah, and he did a really good job there too, similar character. There were some like photoshops done on Twitter and like on Reddit and stuff of him in the character, and it looks pretty pitch perfect for the video
and
game
character. Was he himself like kind of?
He was pushing it. Yeah. He was like campaigning for it. But yeah, he would have been good also because Geralt is kind of like an idiot. He's kind of like he's not an idiot. He's just like, but he's goofy. He's goofy in a way. He's like a Deadpool, but like without the self awareness. Like I don't know. He's kind of like. He's kind of a James Bondy type character too. Like he's a bit of a womanizer and stuff. So I feel like that would have been appropriate casting. But it would have been a very different show. It would have been a show on par with kind of like Highlander.
Sure.
Which is good, but like,
and Canadian.
You know what you're there for, right? Whereas now I guess if they're casting Cavill, I imagine they're gonna go a different direction with it and be like, this is like our Game of Thrones, maybe?
Right, that it's going to be big budget. Yeah. They're really going to, I mean, yeah, it's hard to, I mean, because I think of like Netflix shows and I don't think I can think of any, I mean, it's not like Netflix shows are cheap, but I can't think of any Netflix shows where you can tell like, man, they're just spending a ton of money. I mean, I guess House of Cards, just because it had like the, you know, Kevin Spacey, David Fincher names involved, but even that wasn't a show. You looked at it and you're like, this, they spent
huge
a
set
ton
pieces,
of
right.
Yeah, exactly.
There's
and
Marco Polo, which was
pretty Marco
lived,
Polo,
and
yeah.
There was there's the Rome one now. There's like Ancient Rome, I think it's called.
Oh, I don't think that one. What else were they talking about is like really expensive? I don't know. There have been a couple of shows. Oh, the Get Down.
Oh, yeah. But they canceled that real quick too. Yeah.
Right. So I think there have been a couple of shows, but it seems like, yeah, they're positioning this as maybe the next one. It also, I mean, one of the other shows I was thinking about in relation to that was The Defenders, which we talked about in one of our first episodes.
Oh, yeah, and coming up this Friday, Iron Fist Season 2.
Oh, God, I'm not going to watch that. I have no interest in that.
I know.
And, but, like, so the showrunner of The Witcher is actually this woman, Lauren Schmidt-Hisrich. She basically wrote most of the episodes of The Defenders, even though she wasn't officially the showrunner, but if you look at the credits, she like wrote most of that show.
Okay.
Which makes me wonder about, because I know there was like some like behind the scenes drama on that show. So maybe like while all that was happening, they were like, all right, you got to actually like write the show.
Yeah.
That's not necessarily, like, I don't particularly dislike The Defenders. I don't know if like that was a thing where I would watch that and be like, this woman should be like making the next Game of Thrones. But who knows? Maybe this will be amazing.
Yeah, it might be. If she saved something, maybe that is like she is really skilled. Like if it was like in such a bad state and she got that out of it, then, you know, she probably had to like build back up a lot of stuff on short notice. So maybe it's not reflective of her true talent, but I don't know. It's a weird property to try to make into something that ambitious. I guess the core story could be that, like the core plot is that most of the jokey stuff is like, with any open world game like that, you need to fill time because most of the time you're just wandering around doing nothing. So they filled it with
stuff
kind of
that would
this,
be incredibly boring on like
yeah.
if you were not the one playing.
Yes, exactly. So I think they filled that in. But yeah, the core story stuff could definitely rise to a different level. And there's dragons and stuff, so they love dragons.
I guess the last sort of big question that hangs over this, that hangs over any video game adaptation, is just the simple fact that there haven't really been any good ones yet. And I mean, it's been going on long enough that, like, I don't know that every game you sort of ask that question, but it is kind of weird that you're still like, oh, I guess, I mean, I've seen I think the first Resident Evil is a decent zombie movie. Mortal Kombat is like a really fun guilty pleasure.
It is.
The YouTube clips I've seen from Super Mario Brothers make me think that it's actually like insane in kind of a fun way.
It's very, very bizarre. You haven't seen it?
No.
Oh, wow. It is so strange. It was like, it could only exist then in that moment at that time and then never again. Like, everyone woke up and was like, what did we do? How?
Well, part of it is because they changed so much, right? Which, like, I don't think, like, I'm assuming that this adaptation, I mean, they're going to change some stuff, but it's going to be recognizable from the video game. Whereas I think Super Mario Brothers, they just kind of were like, all right, like two plumber brothers, and then everything will just kind of like make up.
Well, yeah, this they don't have to go far because it's like cinematic is at its starting point. Yeah, it doesn't like extend into anything super weird. It's not like like what was the other one they made? Q-Bert, did they make a movie? No,
they
whatever
did not
they.
Make Q-Bert
what
movie.
Was the? Oh, it was the one, the Adam Sandler one that was like a mashup of all the.
I know what you're. Shit, let me look. This
and then they made Battleship. Remember that?
I do.
That was ridiculous.
That's not a video game. That's a different sort of
that's
game.
That's a game.
But let me see. What was the Adam Sandler movie? It was because it made.
Pixels? Was it called
Pixels?
Pixels? Yeah.
Yeah, and that was a big bomb.
Yeah. Yeah, never been any good.
Although, if we're using things that are not necessarily just straight adaptations of games, but are like based on like video games in some way, like Scott Pilgrim
is fantastic.
What's the Disney movie again? Wreck-It Ralph,
yes. Yeah, but those both, they did the crucial thing of like, we're just going to use this as source material for whatever actual good story we're going to tell.
Taking a video game and turning it into a movie or...
Final Fantasy, The Spirits Within, remember that?
I remember seeing the posters for that. Never bothered to watch it because nothing I heard about it made me think I needed to watch it.
It's not good. It was weird.
Yeah. Well, okay, so...
This one could. I'm excited though. I'm excited. I want to see it. I really love playing that game. But again, I loved playing that game. I think those might be the key words. I don't think I loved watching it, or I don't really remember the story, so it wasn't that important to me. But yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, we'll see. All right. Let's move on to our review, which is of Insatiable. And again, this was like a Netflix series which. There wasn't a ton of hype about it, but then when they released the first trailer, which really centered on this concept of an overweight teenage girl has her jaw wired shut for a summer and becomes skinny and beautiful and decides to basically plot revenge on everyone.
Yeah.
So a lot of people, I think very correctly, said, wow, this seems really like you're basically fat shaming and... that this is really offensive. And Netflix said, wait until you see the series.
Yeah.
And then you'll see, like, don't judge us based on the trailer. Sort of weird because you're like, well, I mean, it's not
Why did you choose to present it that way?
Right. Like, the trailer wasn't just, like, you know, no one brought it down from a mountain, you know, in its, like, impeccably crafted form. It was like, somebody made this trailer. And then also then people saw this series and they were like, nope, still really bad.
Yeah, our initial impression stands, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember the response to it, like, immediate was like, yeah, just like everyone was like, what? But it was, and I will say, without, I guess we'll get into it soon, but like, the trailer was not super reflective of the series, which still doesn't say that either of those things is good.
Yeah. And another question, I was discussing this with my roommate. He was like, why are you reviewing the show when. In fact, this is, you know, everyone has sort of already said it's bad. And I mean, part of it was just, I was like, well, I've already watched a couple of episodes. And the same thing when we reviewed The Inhumans last year.
Yeah, that's right.
Which is like, it's not that no one knew this was bad, but it was just like, I've watched it. I want to get some enjoyment out of talking about how bad it is. And hopefully that will transfer to you, the listener. But I think even the negative reviews did not capture how bad this show is and how like just very badly and poorly made it is.
It is. It's like that's what's really needs articulating is like it's just you look at it and it has all of the surface like elements of a professionally made television program, But then you start thinking about it and you're like, what is going on? Like, how is this made? And how is it not just a like really bad short form project from like a like shitty, like not recognized film school student's graduation project? Like, it's so poor, so poor.
Well, one of the things you alluded to was that, so there is this one, it's not that I think the trailer exactly misrepresents the show. It's just it shows this one aspect
shows
this of
one
it.
One thing, yeah.
And there's like all these other storylines going on. I think one of the other big ones which intersects with it with this like, you know, girl slur slimming down thread is this man who loves being a coach in beauty pageants. Yeah. And is also a lawyer, but then he sort of falls out with the mother of one of his trainees. I don't know exactly what the terminology is.
Yeah. One of the pageant, contestants?
Yeah, so one of his proteges, and they accuse him of molesting her. And, yeah, so, like, by the way, this is also a show that, like, makes jokes about, like, fake sexual assault.
In a super flip way. Super flip.
Yeah, and so he ends up wanting, you know, that both characters, it's sort of like, oh, this could be our redemption, is, you know, working together to compete in beauty pageants. But then there's like what else am I missing that you think is worth talking about plot wise?
It gets way more complicated. They introduce so many plots into this, but the main plot is not like, oh, I was fat, now I'm skinny, I'm going to get revenge on people in high school. The main plot is this weird labyrinthine thing where they back into, like, she's going to try to sleep with the coach, and that's part of her revenge, and she's going to become a pageant queen. And they're, like, the two main characters. Like, she's only one of two main characters. The pageant coach is essentially the other one. And it's like the trajectory of their lives, also explained via voiceover in the first episode and throughout the series. Every single character gets voiceover. Every single character, pretty much, for no reason. Like, just when they're like, oh shit, we have no way to tell this in the story of the show, let's just have the person do voiceover. And you're like, who is that? Well, I guess I kind of recognize her voice, and like, she's on screen right now, so it must be her voice. Like, why? What are you doing? This is so broken.
I will say that, I've watched the first two episodes. That was about as much as I could stomach. And the first episode in particular is just like constant voiceover. Like, and it is the thing where I think a lot of shows might have, you know, voiceover at the very beginning, maybe at the very end, a sort of a bookend. But like, is it the coach first? The coach's voiceover
first. Yeah.
And then like you get him. And then it, like, jumps to her. Or no, because it starts with her because she's like, oh, this guy would be, like, my destiny.
Oh,
I don't remember,
either.
It's definitely, like, just, like, this sort of, like, oh, wow, like, we're going to do just both of them.
Yeah.
Like, constantly. And then I forget, like, if you get, like, the wives, like. The
wives come into it, yeah.
Yeah, their voiceover, like, just, like, the whole thing is being narrated while you're watching it. Not helping at all.
No.
It's not, like, funny. It's not. It just is confusing. And then the second episode, for about like there's a long segment without any narration. And I was like, I'd forgotten that there was narration. And then suddenly it started up again.
Yeah, it really
just
inconsistent
sort of like groaned
throughout the series. Super inconsistent. You'll forget about it entirely. And then it comes back and it's someone new doing the voiceover. And you're like, why do you get internal monologue too? I don't understand how they're elevating different characters to that. But also, you reminded me that in the first episode, they not only make like shitty jokes about weight loss, eating disorders, and also suicide, attempted suicide, and, yeah, sexual assault. So it's like all of that in episode one.
It's very clearly meant to be sort of like provocative and outrageous.
But it's like not over the top in the way that like some of those like exploitation movies, like a Jawbreaker even or something,
yeah,
would be. Like it's just weird. It just like doesn't descend into the like, the richness of like a dark comedy. It just like attempts to and then just wallows in this sort of middle space. It's very weird.
It definitely feels, and again, particularly that first episode, like they're trying to sort of like push your button and like be like, don't you see how provocative we're being, and aren't we so edgy? And instead you're just kind of, again, because I think they're not smart enough.
Yeah, that's what it is.
And they're just sort of like, and they're not aggressively offensive enough. They're just offensive. It's not like crazy sort of like, I'm uncomfortable. You're just like, oh, I don't like this.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's just unpleasant. And they like deal with it. Not like no one really like explores any of this stuff either. They just kind of like raise it and then dismiss it immediately as like assumed, and they don't challenge it or anything. There's nothing like, yeah, there's no questions raised about any of this stuff, right?
And then in the first episode, it felt like there were a lot of jokes that were sort of like, they weren't funny, but you could tell they were meant to be funny, and it was meant to be sort of comedic. And then in the second episode, it really felt like even that kind of went away, and it was more just kind of like following this plot about this, like, you know, her potentially, I mean, I don't think this is a huge, but like, so that there's like a cliff, like sort of a mystery around whether or not she like set a homeless guy on fire.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, also great. And again, not like being investigated or like, they're not doing anything interesting on the topic. They're just like, isn't this funny to do like something about potentially setting a homeless guy on fire? But then there's no jokes about it. It's just like the story just kind of like limps along.
Yeah. And it alternates between that kind of stuff where it's like, oh, this was an attempted murder, or another person potentially got sexually assaulted or whatever. And then between like ordinary, like surface level jokes, like everyday stuff of like a high school comedy. And you're like, what is going on? Like, why are these all treated with equal weight? And why does it seem for like a 3-episode stretch or something like it's a normal high school comedy farce, and then there's like 2 episodes where it's like, oh, but actually maybe it's super serious, but we're not even gonna bother like spending any time on that, we'll just move past it. It seems like it was made, I watched way more episodes than you did, but it seems like it was made,
and we're gonna talk about that,
as it was being produced. Like, it seems like they just were like, well, they did one idea, filmed it, and then we're like, okay, we need another idea to film.
Yeah, and I think it's normal, especially for like a network show. I think less common for a Netflix show, but like a network show where they're sort of writing and producing it sort of at the same time. Like, usually you'll write a pilot, Shoot the pilot, and then you write a couple episodes and you start shooting, and they're sort of like in this sort of like race together.
And that's maybe a good point, because the first one was called Pilot, as if Maybe this was at some point a network show.
Right.
Or designed as that, although I can't imagine this being aired on any network.
So I think it's normal sometimes to, like a show, especially a comedy, usually takes a while to find its voice. Yeah. But because the show is so unpleasant, you don't want, usually, I mean, I think a good comedy that takes a while to find its voice, it just starts out as like, oh, that was kind of funny, but it's not quite there yet. Or even like as a Netflix show, I mean, like BoJack Horseman is a show that like started out kind of funny and then kind of got deeper and darker and more interesting as it went along. Yeah. This, I feel like, just because I'm not, well, I just have so little interest in these characters. They're just all so, like, unlikable. And, again, not in interesting ways. There's nothing, like,
they're just baseline unlikable. There's no, yeah, they're not, like, unlikable in, like, any deep or meaningful way. They're just like, I don't like that person, and I don't have any serious misgivings about them. Or sometimes I do, but, like, most of the time, no, and I just don't care. But, yeah, should we explain why we watched that, man?
Well, I don't have to explain it. You have to explain it. I watched too, because I was like, so for example, we reviewed Everything Sucks earlier this year.
Yeah.
And that was one where I think we both came in not thinking it was going to be very good.
And they turned it around.
And the first episode, I think, was not great, but was, you know, like you could, and it was also this similar thing where it started out like much more as this very broad comedy.
Yeah.
And then became more this sort of character-driven drama. And it seemed, again, only having seen the first 2 episodes, it seemed like that's the direction they wanted this show to go in. And they definitely invest in, like, trying to, like, show, like, when the two main characters flash back to being fat, like, it's treated very seriously, but in a dumb way.
Yeah.
And in this very superficial way. So it's, like, it's supposed to work as drama, but it doesn't at all.
No, and that's kind of, that continues. Like, that just extends throughout the series. They don't really deepen or whatever. They just kind of, like, they have this thing where they have moments where you're like, maybe this is something like a sympathetic or like a thing where I can kind of like relate or connect to some of the characters, but then it is immediately dashed and reversed. And it's almost something that would be like, it's something that would, if done better, and it like seems like a good strategy, like where you would have, I'm trying to think of a good equivalent filmmaker, maybe like Jim Jarmusch or something, but like something where you're like, oh, this is just a deeply fundamentally flawed human being, and therefore I identify with them in that way.
Right.
But it doesn't do that. It just like Yeah, it doesn't have enough. There's not enough to hold on to. It all seems very, very like surface level and like, yeah, just like, oh, everything that I need to know about this character is right there. I'm not interested in getting to know further about their failings or anything like that. Like, it's just so pedestrian with like brief flashes of like them trying to make it deeper than it is, and it's not. So yeah, and also it just seems like the people are just reading the lines. Like, it seems like there is no characterization.
Wait, let's talk about the accents. And I think anyone listening to this can tell that neither of us is from the South. The show takes place in the South, but I still feel very confident in saying the accents in this are awful.
I think they are awful. I'm curious about, so the main guy who plays the bride coach, not bride coach, whatever
slash,
it's called.
The beauty pageant beauty coach slash lawyer. Yeah.
Yeah, he was good in The Good Wife. He was the brother in The Good Wife. And I feel like he had a similar accent, which is like relatively region free. I can't remember, isn't it?
Yeah, and I mean, again, it's hard for me to sort of parse the differences between different Southern accents. And I do think that probably some people are doing an okay job, but it's just because the baseline is so bad, and it just feels so cartoonish that no one's getting the benefit of the doubt.
No. Yeah, and they don't, I wouldn't say, it's not like, I didn't mean to say that their delivery is wooden. I meant to say that, like, it seems like the lines were all written for not one individual character. It's like they were just written, like, here's some lines for people to say. And then the people are saying them, and like, I don't know why I would say this time or this time. Like, these are interchangeable. Let's just switch around the lines. So there's no sense of character established with any of the people, right? Like, he might be the most developed, but I don't know. Even so, over the course of that, I don't feel like I know any of the characters any better later on than I did at the start. Like, basically, their little cartoonish introduction is all they are. Which is, again, sounds like it could be good. It almost sounds like it's like a, what's the Russian playwright? Like, Uncle Vanya or whatever. Like, isn't that how his whole thing is, like, the comedy of stasis? It's like, oh, we're all in the cherry orchard.
Oh, Chekhov.
Chekhov.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, everyone is just stuck, and, like, that's...
I haven't read any Chekhov.
Anthony, come on.
Because you were an English you were an English major.
Yeah. And, like, we did a lot of play stuff. But, like, it feels almost like that. Like, everyone is just stuck and, like, unable to change, and, like, that should generate kind of the humor of, like, the inability to, like, move or whatever. But it's not even that. It's just, like, they just, like, threw a bunch of words at the wall and had people
say
them.
There are comedies about awful people doing awful things who never get any better that are good. One that I think of, and I don't think it's really like this show, but the first one that comes to mind for me is Pulling, which is this British TV series, which I just love. And I'm sure there are, like, others, or I guess Curb Your Enthusiasm is another one.
Yes, that's right. That's a good one. Yeah. And that one doesn't descend into the evil, right? It stays mischievous, I guess, but I don't know if that's part of it.
There's two sort of different flaws, I think, that this show falls into trying to take that approach. One is, I think it's just not smart or funny enough. Yeah. And the other is just that it then also tries to be, like, provocative and sort of edgy in this way that's just not interesting. It's just, offensive.
Yeah. And I think they try. So I think, to Netflix's credit, or at least not to their credit, but, like, to back up what they're saying about the trailer, like, later on they definitely do, like, go into more challenging discussions about eating disorders and about weight and about gender identity and sexuality and stuff like that. Like, they bring a whole bunch of that to the fore, although they wait quite a long time to do it, which makes me wonder about how it was integrated into it, like, whether it was always there or whether it was, like, added later as a response. And I don't know anything about the production history of the show, but it also seems like it all feels done very casually and as though as an anticipated response to, like, the criticism that they were going to get. But,
well, I think the other aspect of it that was sort of puzzling is, I think there are now different high school set shows and movies that try to add some complexity and nuance to these sort of, like, nerds versus jocks versus, you know, bullying kind of storylines. Because, and I mean, like, the sort of the classic example to me is 21 Jump Street, the remake, where they go back to the high school and then they're like, oh, the whole hierarchy has been completely reversed. And the nerds are now, like, and the weird kids are the ones, like, running the show. And I don't think, like, everything has to do that. I don't think that's necessarily, I mean, I haven't been to high school in a very long time. But, like, even something like To All the Boys I've Loved Before, I don't think isn't trying to subvert those ideas. But you get a more complex idea of it than just, like, there are the cool kids, there are the popular kids, and they're in the jocks, and they're one, and then there's, like, the people they torment, and that's, like, the whole thing. Yeah. Like, that there are these, like, different tribes, and they sort of interact in these sort of complex ways, and you don't get, like, here it's just the broadest, most stereotypical depictions across the board.
But I do think that part of that is, like, because it's not really the focus of the show, which, again, it was very confusing to me, because it ends up well, that was the other, like, it just keeps treeing out, and I don't know if we want to, I don't even know if I want to talk about specific instances, because they're so, like, forgettable, but, like, it just keeps adding on subplots and subplots and subplots with, like, the different characters they introduce. They end up building a whole half episode around them or something, and you're like, why? Like, just stop. I don't care about this person, and then they tie them back in, so it's all interwoven, too. In a way that I really feel like the series creators were like, this is clever. And you're like, it is not clever. And this, you're like, this is that person's son? Did you just want to keep the acting budget, like, low? Like, why? There's no need for that to be that way. But they really wanted to, like, it feels like they wanted it to be all intertwined and intermingled as if it's, like, some clever heist thing coming together when it's not. It's just flailing about, right?
So why did you watch 6 episodes?
Because I was on the plane and I had downloaded 6 episodes for offline viewing through the Netflix app, and I didn't have anything else to do because there was no Wi-Fi.
Was there a certain point where it felt like it was like an effort to keep going? Or did you manage that? You were just like, all right, like, I don't like this, but it's not like a chore to make it through all 6 episodes.
No, there were individual points where it definitely felt like a chore, but there was something about just the way. Like, that actor, again, I like the guy, the Good Wife guy, and I kind of was like, why is he in this? And that was basically what kept me going, was seeing that, and then seeing, what's her name from Charmed?
Alyssa Milano.
Alyssa Milano is his wife. I'm like, why is she in this? And then at one point, Ben Stiller's wife.
Oh, I'm trying to remember her name now. Like, I'm looking at the cast list.
But at one point, she shows up.
Christine Taylor
shows
right.
up. In
and the actor you're talking about from The Good Wife is Dallas Roberts.
Dallas Roberts, yeah. Yeah, like, all these people show up in it. And you're like, why are all these people in this? Like, how do they get in it? There's a guy who plays the pastor from Wet Hot American Summer. Michael Ian Black.
Yeah, I haven't gotten that far, but I saw him on the cast list. And I was like, what? He's definitely the one where I'm like, why? Why are you doing this?
Yeah, it was curiosity. Curiosity kept me going, and also because it was so classically bad. Like, it was so fundamentally bad. Like, just as if you would. It was like that. You shift the first draft of, like, I don't know, like a screenplay. You're like, all right, we have 20 minutes. Let's, like, come up with a screenplay and, like, a story arc for something. And they came up with that, and then they just shipped it and produced it as though it was a fully thought out concept and idea. Like, it seemed like somebody was, like, drunk, and they, well, imagine this happened. And then they just filmed that whole thing the next day. They showed up, and were like, we have professional cameras, we have a professional cast, we have all this money, we're going to produce this as though it's a real show, even though it was somebody who is not a professional filmmaker's random idea on a drunken weekend.
I should also say, I don't think the actors are at fault here. I don't think anyone's doing amazing work.
I think they're trying.
They're
trying.
Right. And some, they're like, listen, it's a comedy. It's a broad comedy set in the South or something. And so they're trying to do these sort of, like, big comic performances. And
there's crazy good pratfalls in there here and there for no reason, though. There's a treadmill pratfall, which is, like, really well executed. But you're like, why is this in this show? I don't understand. At no point did it seem like it was a treadmill pratfall show, and yet they have one.
So this has been renewed for a second season.
Really?
No, I was looking this up right before. Let me just double check this, but I'm 99% sure that this was renewed for a second season, which
How is that possible?
Oh, actually, you know what? I could be I think there was something, there's an article saying that it was going to be, but I think that's not actually confirmed.
I feel like this is like the 13 Reasons Why renewals, which everybody keeps being like, what? How are those renewed? Everyone hates them. They're very bad shows. Although I've watched both seasons, and I did not have anywhere near as strong a reaction to those shows as I did to this show. Negative reaction.
It's so actually, yeah, it's not clear yet. I apologize. I was misinformed by my rapid fire Googling before we recorded, but second season TBD.
All right, well, please don't renew it, Netflix. There's some spoiler details that I would like to talk about. Do you think we should talk
about it? Yeah, let's do it. I doubt anyone has gotten that this far in the show, but like, I definitely will never, so I don't care. If you haven't seen, like, so if you haven't watched Insatiable yet and you do want to watch it and you don't want to be spoiled, you should stop listening now, but I don't know who that is.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know how you listened to what we just said and we're like, that's what I want to watch. But yeah, there's parts where... So there's the part where the coach goes and visits his previous beauty pageant coach mentor. And you're like, why is this happening? Like, it's that many, that happens all the time where they go that level deep and they do a flashback to explain it and everything. And then it turns out that he had an affair with her, like on his wife. And then that becomes a major plot point for something that the main girl is doing later on too. And they just, you're just like, why? I don't understand why this is happening.
Do you think it's because basically that initial setup seems like it has some, like, the sort of dramatic setup of, you know, girl wants to have revenge on, and then decides to have revenge by being successful in beauty pageants. They thought that had a lot of dramatic, you know, potential. And then for some reason they felt like they couldn't, those stories weren't panning out or there wasn't anywhere to go with it. And so they just like started like randomly just tossing out stuff to try to fill time.
I feel like that maybe is a possibility. I think maybe they made the show that was represented in the trailer and then they were like, or they tried to make that show and then they realized that it felt bad and wrong, even to them. Like even to the tone deaf people who came up with this concept to begin with, were like, oh, we can't do this. This is so, so unpleasant. And then they tried to like, pad it out with this other stuff, which ended up being equally unpleasant.
But. Do you feel like they are? Because again, my sense of it was that they were trying to like originally trying to make it as just this like wild, you know, comedy, and you know, sort of talking about like hot button issues, and then it became they were like, oh, maybe we'll do more of like a character show. Is that like the sense that they continue going that direction?
And yeah, like, that might make sense too. But they do, and they try for like an everything sucks type moment where they try to like humanize it like halfway through and be like, oh, like look, like there's a dog wash, there's a bikini dog wash, which okay,
huh?
So they start the episode with like, let's have a bikini dog wash, and you're like, wait, what is happening now? But then like part of the things that happen in the course of that, they're actually, I was like, oh, they're just doing this for gratuitous bikini scenes, which they end up do it. They don't, like, they have their cake and eat it too because they like have that, and then they have like the dogs attack everyone because the one person brings like meat flavored sunscreen. Anyways, doesn't make any sense.
Sure, yeah.
But then
comedy gold.
But then the like hot guy from the beginning, the like boy she has a crush on or whatever,
sure.
He brings all of his friends that he made from volunteering at the LGBTQ center in the city, which, yeah, sure, okay. they introduced that in one scene where they have him inside the center painting a wall. He's painting over the word gay, and then like somebody comes up and is like, what are you doing? Why are you doing that? And he's like, oh, I'm volunteering and they told me to paint over all the slurs. And then the person, she's like, I think they meant on the outside of the building, but that's the whole point of that scene is for that joke, which is very bad and unpleasant.
Right.
And then for, like, and what does it mean? What is it, like, he's well-meaning? I don't understand. What, but like, lacks any depth of knowledge or understanding about what he's trying to do? Like, what does that say about his character? To me, it's like he's a bad person, but in like a way that is kind of forgettable and I don't really care about it. And then, He shows up at this dog wash like two episodes later and you're like, oh, I guess that's the reason that scene existed, so they could have a bunch of drag queens like do like fill in for this bikini wash, which then like now they feel like they're doing a social good by creating this show or something. Like, it's so bad. And she also has a moment, the main character, where she's like, I don't know, I can't do the bikini thing. I still think I'm fat. And it's for like eating disorders. And then she has like crying in a change room with her best friend. And you're like, do you think this absolves you of everything that you've done already? Because it does not. It does not absolve you. So there's a lot of moments later in the show that are like that, where they're like, no, see, we treated that thing with seriousness and dignity.
And you could see it moving in that direction already, but never in a way that was actually...
No, because then they keep popping right back to the shitty stuff. Like, they just immediately, they have like, all right, it's like having like a Now You Know, like commercial break, and then they jump right back to like whatever dumb garbage that they were on before.
Yeah, and I mean, I think part of what maybe the defense of the show would be is that probably they would argue... The creators would argue, look, like, teenagers really are this shitty. And so when you just show, you know, that showing, like, kids calling this, you know, overweight girl Fatty Patty is just really, that's how they would respond. Right. And that's true. I mean, it's certainly, but then, like, the problem is the show itself treats her, like, her pain and her fatness as much.
As an object for humor, yeah.
Right. Depending on the scene, it could be a source of pain or it could be a source of humor. And it, like, not with any sort of, like, rhyme or reason or intelligence.
That's basically what I was getting at. Like, they always are trying to have their cake and eat it, too, by, like, putting off the one-liners, like, the shitty one-liners in the voices. But, like, not in a way that you're like, oh, that guy's an asshole. In a way, like, they're trying to get some cheap laughs while they're also trying to tell these, like, good messages right at the same time. But, yeah, they just... And also, they, like, the thing about a teenager, like, they don't even get that... specific. They're just like their only real message is like people are shitty most of the time. Like, that's the only takeaway. Yes. I got from the show, and it's not even about a specific group or like how a specific group interacts with one another. Like, again, you could exchange the most of the lines people say, like the high school character for the adult character, and it would make no difference whatsoever to the film or the show.
Yeah. So of all the things that you've watched for original content, would you say this is the worst?
I mean, again, it's like...
I mean, we watch some bad stuff.
We watch some really bad stuff. I would say, what's it called? The fucking... I can swear. Oh, yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, yeah.
the Inhumans... I'm so corporate, I forgot I can swear. The Inhumans was probably worse than this in a lot of ways, but this one is just so head-scratchingly... insane. It's just like, what is it? Like, what are you trying to do?
Yeah, I agree that I think not to say this is a competition, but certainly, like, Inhumans, there was something like enjoyably off the wall. I still don't really want to watch any more of it.
Well,
but
I also,
like,
got what they were trying to do, at least.
Yeah.
I'm like, I get what you were shooting for. You missed it. Way, you missed it by a lot, and this sucks. But I understand what your intent was. This one I don't even understand.
I think the other thing it made me think of was Bright, which was another one where it just was completely off. Even that one,
and then Bright did so well.
I see
in the court of public opinion.
And according to, you know, was it Nielsen viewing numbers, a lot of people watched it.
Yeah,
it's maybe making more of those. I think that there's a similar kind of thing where it's not just that it's bad, but like, it's not even bad in a fun way most of the time. It's just, you're just sort of like gritting your teeth and like, okay,
yeah,
sure.
It's a lot of cringing, and it's not a lot of fun. I mean, it's not even as fun as, I still watch Bachelor in Paradise, which is a horrible, horrible guilty pleasure. But like, that is way more fun than this is. There's no pleasant moments in it really at all.
Yeah, now that I think about, I mean, between those three, I think those are probably the worst things that we've watched for the podcast. And I would rather watch more episodes of Inhumans or a sequel to Bright than watch more Insatiable.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Yeah, that's a pretty, like, good summary judgment on it. I don't know what else to add, except I really hope that they don't make more of this. I really hope people don't respond well to this, but...
I was really confused. I think I just, you know, there were, like, a lot of articles, because there's, like, a whole, like, content farm industry around like articles that are, has this been renewed, when will it return? And I think I misread one of those, but it has not been renewed yet. And I hope, I mean, you know, look, if some person somewhere gets enjoyment out of it, you know, I won't be that angry that this gets renewed, but like,
yeah, I have no interest in it. I feel like the other fear I have is that this is just like an indicator of things to come. Like, this is like, to me, watching it, I was like, this is what happens when Netflix and everybody else pour a bunch of money into, like, productions are happening that shouldn't be happening. There's no quality filter anymore. It's just, hey, we got the money, let's do it.
Like, right. And our algorithm says this is like a topic that people are interested in, yeah, and people will watch. I think with shows, though, what I wonder is that, and I think actually apparently there were some reports that this is what happened with Defenders and why they're not necessarily interested in making another Defenders, although they're making the individual shows, is that this seems like the kind of show that you can hate watch for an episode or two, but I mean, you making it six episodes, I bet like a lot of people who watch this will watch one episode and just stop.
Yeah. I mean, I fell asleep through most of that second episode when you were talking about that. Cause I was confused, tired. Cause I was like, did they just kill someone or why? What does it mean? And they went back and forth quite a few times too. Of like, maybe they did. I don't know where they ended. I woke up and they were like, well, you know, maybe I killed someone. And she said, she like ends it with like, maybe skinny is magic and you can kill someone being skinny or
something. Wait, no. Okay. To be fair, it starts out with she thinks skinny is magic, maybe I can get away with this. And then at the end, oh, wait, no, you're right. You're right. Because then he does. Wow, there's so many. Yeah, because at the beginning, she's told skinny is magic. Halfway through the episode, she says skinny isn't magic. And then at the end of the episode, just maybe skinny is magic. It's a real roller coaster.
Basically. But yeah, it was, oh, God.
Great show. So everyone should go out and watch Insatiable multiple times.
Yeah.
You should also
buy all the merch. If you can find the merch to buy, show your support for the show.
Like, Insatiable, like tiaras or something. I don't know. God. You should also subscribe to original content on Apple Podcasts or the podcast app of your choice. You can also leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. Daryl, is there anything you want to plug?
No, I'm still on Twitter. Go over there.
What do you like to tweet about nowadays?
Very little, actually. Right. I like retweet colleagues mostly.
Great. So if that's what you're into on Twitter,
hey,
follow
it's
Effington.
Good. Give me those follows.
All right. Daryl, thanks for coming back. Hopefully we'll have you back again soon.
Yeah.